The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuf Pei Beis. Hilchas Gnevo Gzela, Sifim Aleph Thuches. Sif Aleph. Asa Ligzo a Lignoi Vafilu Kol Shehu. Not allowed to steal or rob anything, even a small amount, even less than a pruta. Bemi Yisro, Bemi Nachri, whether from a Yid or from a Nachri. The Sma says, why less than a pruta? Usually any type of money is only considered if it's a pruta or more. But we know, we have a rule, Chatzi Shir, Asa Menatayra. Even something that's us, so you're not allowed to eat treif. You don't get the malchus or whatever it is until you eat a kazayas. But to eat a half a kazayas of treif is also usr. Same thing. To steal, even if it's less than a pruta, is still usr. Isa b'tana d've'elio, the Tana d've'elio says, Ma'isa b'echa, the story with a certain person, shesipe li, that he told me, sha'asa avlu l'nachri b'medida satzmarim, shemach aloi, that he wronged a nachri, when measuring the dates that he was selling them, he did a false measure on it, cheated him. V'achakach, and afterwards, kana b'chol amoyis shemen, and with the money he got from that sale, he bought a barrel of oil. V'nishbar hakad v'nishbar hashemen, and the jug broke, and so therefore the oil spilled out and was gone. V'amati, and I said, baruch hamokim shein l'fon of masapanim, baruch Hashem, that he does not find favoritism. The pasuk says, you're not allowed to do oishik, which we'll talk about later, and you're not allowed to steal. The gezel nachri gezel, and stealing from a nachri is still considered gezel in his asa. Sif beis. Mhudava muad kol kach shein mishi yakbid olav klal. However, if what you're taking from someone is so small and so insignificant in value that no one cares about such a thing, like there's a bundle of hay and you're taking a little twig in order to use as a toothpick, a little tiny piece. Mutter, that's allowed. However, midas chasidus, one would refrain even from that. So, let's say a modern day example would be that you're in the office and you need a tissue badly, and your coworker is out that day and they have a box of tissues on the desk, and you want to take one tissue. So, in general, no one's makbid that you take one of their tissues. It's such a small, insignificant amount that most people don't care. So a person will be allowed to take the tissue if he needed it. And it wouldn't be considered stealing, even though he's taking something that's not his and he's not giving it back. But we say if it's something that no one would be makbid, it's not a problem. If some people would be makbid, and you specifically know this person wouldn't be makbid, meaning, let's say the coworker had a box of cookies on their desk and they were away that day, and you wanted to take one of the cookies. So in general, people are makbid that no one else should take one of their cookies. But let's say you know that this person specifically wouldn't mind that you take a cookie. They'd be happy that you take a cookie. So then that would still be usur, because even though the Shach says otherwise, but Paiskim don't go with the Shach, and we say that Yish loy midas loy have a Yish. If the person can't relinquish his ownership of something unless has knowledge of it, and here, even though he'd be happy in the end, but you're taking away something that's his, you're taking away his cookie and you're eating it and you're not giving it back, and so you can't relinquish that ownership from him. Have that ownership be taken away from him on that cookie without his prior permission. So even though you're sure the guy wouldn't mind, if you're taking something and consuming it and not giving it back, so then that wouldn't be allowed. Of course, if it's a situation where the person allows you to do that, or it's meant for you to use, it's no problem. So if you go to your friend's house and they sit you by the dining room table before he comes, and there's a fruit bowl out there, so obviously the fruit bowl is for people who sit there to take a piece of fruit. So if you can't ask them, you could certainly help yourself to a fruit, because that's what it's there for. It was meant to be taken. As opposed to the cookies, it wasn't meant to be taken. You just assuming that he wouldn't mind that you take that cookie. If, of course, the coworker would say, oh, whenever you want to borrow, take a cookie, feel free, obviously that would be allowed to. Sif Gimel. Afilu lignoi valdas lahachzir. Even if you want to steal something, but you're going to return it. You're going to take it for now and then bring it back. And you're doing this because you want to upset him. You want him to think that his item is missing. Or you're playing what you think is a practical joke about it. Gam kein osa, that's still osa. Sif dalad. Osa la shoik is chaveroi, I feel kol shehu. You're not allowed to do oishik to your friend, even a small little bit. Shenamar, because it says in the pasuk, lo isa shoik is hayacha. Not allowed to do oishik against your fellow yid. Veizu oishik, what's oishik mean? Zeh shebo mamin chaveroi yodoi berotzin chaveroi. This is when your friend's money has been given to you with the will of your friend. Your money came willingly into your hand. Kagain shleish biyadoi halva is chiyus, like the guy lent you money, so the money was given to you willingly, but now you have to give it back. Or the other person did work for you, and now you owe him for that work. So that debt was done with knowledge. He accepted that you're going to owe him money after he finishes the job. And now you don't want to pay him. Or you are pushing him off and saying, oh no, I don't have it today, come back another day. That's usa. That's called oishik. Oishik is the forceful withholding of money, even though it came into your hand with proper permission. As opposed to gneva, you took it without permission. Here, even if the money came to your permission, not giving it back, that's oishik. Sifhei. Kol ha-chaymei beisoy o-kelev shechaveru. Someone that desires the house or other utensils or equipment of your friend. O-kol davar shein b'das chaveru l'machor. Anything that your friend does not want to sell. V'hu hir be olav reyim. And now you get a bunch of friends to sort of go to him, or you yourself are pestering the owner, or you get a bunch of friends of his or yours to pester the owner, until the owner finally acquiesces and sells you the item that he wasn't looking to sell. When you sell that item is purchased, that would be the aveira of loy sachmid. And from the time that you decided in your heart how you have to get that item, and you think of a plan on how you're going to go about to get that item from him, even though he's not interested in selling it. Ova b'lei sisaver. That is when you're over the issa of lei sisaver. Ki ain taiva elu b'lei bilvud. The issa of taiva, of lei sisaver, is only in the heart, meaning you didn't do any maisa yet. You just made a plan, and you set in your mind a scheme on how you're going to get that item. And if you have a taiva desire to take something, it's going to lead to chimud. And so when you actually go through with the purchase of the item that you made the scheme to get, one loisachmid, which is at the time of purchase, and loisisava was when you came up with the scheme. That's why it says loisachmid and loisisava, because they're two lavin. So, let's say your friend has a brand new high-end car, and you want the same thing, and you really have a problem with your midas, but for whatever reason, you have a tremendous strong desire. You want to get also the same model car for yourself. So that's not like sachman and like sasava. It's not good midas, but it's not like sachman and sasava. You don't want your friend's car. You want his car's already used. You want a new car of the same make and model. That we're only talking about when you want something that belongs to your friend. And that exact item that your friend has, he's not looking, he doesn't want to sell it. Shubas Tzel Chochma says that of course you can ask once or twice to see if he's interested in selling it. That's not a problem of Lois Sava. So if your neighbor is an elderly gentleman and he has no one else living at home anymore, and you want to buy his house because you want to extend your house, and he's the only house that you could extend to. And even though he's not looking to sell the property, you can ask him, you know, I'm interested in buying your property. Are you interested in selling? If he says no, you're still allowed to ask him a second time. And you can say, well, I'll give you whatever, X dollars for the property. He says, no, I'm not interested in staying and leaving. So then you wouldn't be allowed to go further. Meaning, if you thought to yourself, hey, you know what, I'll get a bunch of friends. And every day in shul, they'll go to him and they'll bother him. Why aren't you selling your house to your neighbor? He really needs it. He has no place to expand. maybe should, you know, move where your children are, or move to Florida or whatever it is. And they figure when you keep on doing this, if you make a plan, hey, I'll do that and I'll have my friends do this and we'll do it every day. After a month or two, the guy will finally crack and he'll give in to selling. So if you set out yourself on making that plan, that would be the Issa of Leisa Sava. And if you actually went through at the time of purchase, that would be the Issa of Leisa Achmed. And again, this only applies to things that are not for sale. So if the neighbor put up a sign, house for sale, and you asked him how much it was, and it was exorbitantly overpriced, so again, that's a separate thing, but if you would ask him each day, maybe, you know, you could sell it for this price or that price, that wouldn't be a problem loy sasav, because it's something that he's looking to sell. Sifvav. Mitzvah sasei ala geizel lahachzir sagzela atzma. So mitzvah sasei, the heshev sagzela, that the robber has to return the item that he stole. Not just the monetary value, the item that he stole. Im hi beinah, if the item is still around, v'loy nishtanis, and hasn't changed. Shnemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'heshev sagzela shagozal. Vodin laganav, and the same applies to a ganav. A gazlan is someone who takes something forcefully from someone, as a ganav who does it secretly where the person doesn't know. Meinu yaitzei dei chayvasai, and the robber is not yaitzei his obligation in doing tshuva, but has seen his dumb, just giving the money. Even if the owners have already given up hope for retrieving the item, still the robber, when he wants to do tshuva, has to give back the item itself. He can't give the monetary value. Avalim avda, but if the item was lost, if the item changed in a way that it's no longer can be reverted back to its original state. So, for example, if someone stole clay powder, and now the ganav took it and he made it into bricks, so that's something that can revert back to its original state. If you crush it, it'll go back to clay powder. So it wasn't considered a strong enough change. A shishaka b'binyan, or if, let's say, someone stole a beam, a wooden beam, and he put it in his house as one of the central beam posts. So if you so now if he wanted to return that exact object like he would normally be chayv to, he'd have to dismantle his entire building, because if you take away that pole, the whole building would fall. So in those cases, the ganav is yaitzei his tshuva by giving back the monetary value of the item that he took, as the value was at the time that the item was stolen. So if the wooden beam was stolen 5 years ago when it was worth $10, and now it's worth $20 because the price of material went up, the chiyuv would be $10. It's the time that the item was stolen. And if the person who was robbed moved somewhere else, and now he's in a different location, the ganav doesn't have to send the money to where the person who was robbed is. He should tell him that when you come, I'll pay you for the money that I owe you from the stolen item. In Meisa Nigzo, if the person was robbed, passed away, Yachzul Yoshev, so you still have a chiv to return it to his inheritors, because any money that the person who was robbed would have had would have gone to the Yoshim, would have gone to the heirs. So therefore, when the Ganav wants to do tshuva, so he has to give it to the heirs, because they would have received that money had the item never been stolen. A case of a shinui that does not go back is a simple case is when a person stole a baby calf, and so And then a few years later, he decides he wants to do Hashava, but now it's already an ox. So since a calf and an ox are called different items, so in that case, the robber would be allowed to give back the monetary value of the calf when it was stolen. He doesn't have to give back the physical ox, because that's a shinui she'eino chayza. That's something that you can't make an ox back into a calf. Siv Zion. Hagoizel Sarabim, someone who steals from the public, Kagoyin Shayachanvini, like he was a storekeeper, Umadad Bemida Chasera, and his scales were faulty, so he ended up giving people less than the weight that they were supposed to get. They were supposed to give him a pound, and really the scales were rigged, so they only got 0.95 of a pound. Aishashakab Mishkal Chaser, Kadaimel. Or like I said, you weighed it wrong. Or actually, Midah Chaser would be an example. Is where you're supposed to give, 35 pieces to a bag, and you really only put in 34. The measure was wrong. Or Shahaya Mamuna Bakohol. Or let's say you were in charge of the community tax coffers, the Hekel Al Kreiva V'Hichbed Al Achem, and you had to collect a certain amount of money. So when you divided up the tax bill amongst the city people, you decided to be lighter on your relatives, make them pay a little less tax than they would normally have to pay. V'hichbed alachem, and you made the tax burden a little bit heavier on the people that were not your relatives, so because you had to end up with the net amount at the end, but you didn't divide up the tax burden in the proper way. You stole from the people by giving them a higher tax burden. V'chemisha notal ribis mirabim, or someone who took ribis for many, many people. Shuvaso kosher, his tshuva is very difficult because he has no idea who to return the money to. He weighed in his store countless of customers, countless of times. He doesn't know who bought from him and how much he stole from them. He has no idea what to do. Lefichach, so what should he do? He can't really do a tshuva haguna. He can't do a proper tshuva because only proper tshuva is to give back everybody the amount that you stole to him from them. And in this case, that's not applicable because you have no idea what that number is and who those people are. So yafet zochei rabim, you should do public works. You do things which will benefit the public. Shagam anigzom yanu mehem. So this way, the people who were robbed will also have benefit from what you did. You built a mikveh or you built a playground, and this way you hope that the people that you stole for will have benefit from those things, and that'll be a way of returning what you owe to them, because normally someone would pay a certain fee to or a certain amount to be able to have the benefit of playing in the playground or going to the mikveh, and now you subsidize that or you paid for it, so this way they pay less or they don't have to pay anything. So you hope that the people that you stole from will receive the benefit in the same amount. However, that's not such a likely happening that everybody will be get paid back exactly what they deserve. So if you know someone that you stole from, you still have to return to them what you stole, even if you do these public works. By doing those public works. Sivchas. Also liknois meaganav or meagazlin is a chayfet shagonav a gozal. Now buy from a ganav or a gozlin the item that he stole. The ein chiluk ben shu yisroel or nachri. It doesn't make a difference whether the ganav is a yid or a nachri. Ki gam a nachri nitzdav al isa ganev o gzela. A few mi nachri chaver, because also the nachri is commanded not to steal from the Torah. It's one of the shiva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Even if he's stealing from another nachri. Hu mishava mitzvahs shnitzdav olem. It's one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach, as we said. The avon gadol hu liknois min aganav min agazon. It's a tremendous aveir to buy from the thief. Sharehu machzik de aveir, because you're encouraging him to continue stealing. Encouraging bali aveira. V'alzeh nema chaylik im ganav seinei nafshay. Someone who divides with a ganav hates him. V'goyim leganav shignei void, because now you're causing the ganav to do more ganavis. Because if the robber will not find anyone who'll buy the stolen merchandise, he won't steal. It won't be a profitable business. So by giving the opportunity for the ganav to get money for his robbed goods, you're encouraging him to further rob. Even though the Ganav has the ability to go to another city and sell the merchandise there, and people won't know that it was stolen because they won't recognize him as being a known thief, it's not so simple for him to go to another town and do this. However, even though normally we're not allowed to buy stuff from a Ganav, if the buyer is buying from the Ganav for the good of the owners, that you should be able to return the stolen item to the original owner when they will reimburse you for what you paid the Ganav, mutter, so that would be mutter. Madafkin, that's only if the owners themselves wouldn't have the opportunity to save their item from the Ganav. So too, you can't take something to hold on someone else's behalf as a deposit if it's something that appears that was stolen. So, let's say your cleaning lady is going back to her host her country to stay back forever, and she tells you that she's leaving on Wednesday, and the last time she cleans your house is on Monday, and besides cleaning your house, she also cleaned out your jewelry box as well. And now your neighbor is approached by a cleaning lady and says, oh, would you like to buy this jewelry? I'll sell it to you for a very, very good, you know, whatever good price, $150. I'll give you the whole batch. And your neighbor knows that it's stolen merchandise. But the neighbor also knows that if they don't give the Ganav the money now and pay for it, so then the cleaning lady is never going to be able to get caught because she's already going to be on the plane back to her country where she won't be able to won't be able to get the stuff back from her. So therefore, if the neighbor should bargain as low of a price as he can and pay whatever it is, $100 for that jewelry, and then go to the owner and say, I have all the jewelry I retrieved from the cleaning lady that stole it from you. If you please reimburse me the $100, and I have your jewelry for you. That's okay. Even though you're buying stolen merchandise, you're buying it in order to save it for the owners, and the owners want to have the opportunity to retrieve it on their own. Kol Tov.